Amen. We can do that in church. We can have fun in the Lord. All right, take your Bible this morning and turn with me to 1 John 1 through 4. Yeah. Back up here. There we go. This is third series of messages out of 1 John. And, there's five chapters. We're going back to chapter 1. Understanding what real life means when it comes to living it in the Lord. And the Word of God is our roadmap to help us our journey in life. And that's why I entitled it this morning, The Personalized Word of Life, because it is personal to each one of us, because we make a personal commitment to the Lord. That's personal, and God is personal. He's a person, people, God, and He loves to work with us individually, corporately, or however the opportunity comes for us to serve the Lord as we live out our life here on this earth before we see Him face to face. And I like the books of the Epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and then the Gospel of John, because it tells us, because John was so close to Jesus. I don't think he wanted to miss anything. That's why he was always real close, or leaning or laying on Jesus's chest, because he didn't want to miss anything. He wanted to hear. He wanted to touch Jesus. He wanted to understand the intimate relationship that we can have with the Lord as we live out our life. And we need Jesus in our life each day, with the Word of God as our pathway, our journey in life. So follow along with me with verse 1. I'll read the first four verses. What was from the beginning, what we have seen, what we have... I'm sorry. Let me start over again. I'm jumping ahead of myself. What was from the beginning, what we have heard. There we go. What we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touch with our hands concerning the word of life. Now, why did John say that? Because he had a personal testimony. This is personal because he spent time with the Lord. He saw the Lord at work, ministry. He heard him. He touched him. Jesus touched them in their lives as well. And that's why John started out this verse that way. Now let's go to verse 2. And the life was manifest. That means many times over, manifold, many times. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us many times over. Verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. So we've heard it. We want to pass it on to you, is what John is saying. So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this passage of Scriptures this morning, I'm just going to talk about verse 1 this morning. Next week, it'll be verse 3, 4, 2, 3, and 4. But this morning, I want us to look at one thing this morning, sensing reality. But before, do you remember how exciting the words was, once upon a time? There was a series, few months ago or last year or so, once upon a time, but you've heard when you was a kid, once upon a time, you know, the little stories and so forth. And I was always fascinated with that. What's coming next? Once upon a time. So, and that's what it used to be. Now, they opened the door into an exciting world to make believe, into a dream world, and helped you forget all the problems of childhood. You know, that's what those stories were for. It's to make it exciting and challenging for the kids to grow and learn as well with the type of stories that helps them intellectually and to have them, you know, just have fun. But then, pow, right? You turn a corner, and one day, at once upon a time, became kid stuff. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it said, once I was a kid, you know, put all that behind me, now I became a man, and so forth, and put those kid things behind. And that's what Paul said. So, that once upon a time, that's what happens in, as we grow into adulthood. So, you discover that life is a battlefield. Have you ever discovered that yet? That life is a battlefield? And we really need the Lord on our side. We need to suit up with the whole armor of God. And we find out it's not just a playground of fairy stories. We're no longer sustaining. You need something real. We need the wonderful words of life, which is the Word of God. I refer to the wonderful words of life is the Word of God. And so the search for something real is not new. You know, man has always been searching for something new. But you know what? You can find everything that you want, new, old, or whatever, right here in the Word of God. Now, it has been going on since the beginning of history. Men have, you know, looked for reality and satisfying, you know, satisfaction in wealth, skills, conquest, powers, learning, and even given in religion. People have been searching for something new in all of those areas, and I maybe haven't named all of the areas that man pursues in life, but these are a lot of them. So there may be nothing really wrong with these experiences, but by themselves, they never truly satisfy. You've learned that. You know that already. But wanting something real and finding something real are two different things in life. I found that myself. So, like a child eating cotton candy. How many of you like cotton candy? You know, you get you a big old piece of that, you wad it up, and you put it in your mouth, what happens? It's gone. And it's all sugar, right? It really gets you lifted up for momentarily. You know, you go to the circus or anywhere to buy cotton candy, and it's tasty for a moment, but then it's over. But many people who expect to bite into something real end up with a mouth full of what? Nothing. Nothing. So that's why you need the real life and the Word of life, the Word of God. So they waste priceless years on empty substitutes for reality. Now, so that people would not waste their years, going back to the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. And that's why he said, from the very beginning. And he says that also in John chapter 1. In the beginning was God's Word. Go to Genesis. In the beginning was what? The Word. And it's the new creation. So, he wrote it to you, and he wrote this to me, even though it's many, many years ago. So, it's a letter of life, light, and love. This puts all the colors of the letter of life, light, and love in it. and it's for you and me. So, though written centuries ago, its theme, still finding life that is real, is forever updated in our lives through this letter. So, John had discovered that satisfying reality is not found in things or thrills, but in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I want us to look at this one thing this morning, verse 1, sensing reality. You know, sometimes we get a wake-up call, don't we? We think something is one way, but then the reality hits. But sensing reality is really finding out what our life's journey is all about and what it should be, and it should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is a book of life in which we are to follow. So, John immediately jumps into the experience of God's living reality in the first paragraph of this letter, as you notice as we read it. See, John's witnesses springs from this page, these first four verses, as he opens up with his introduction. And as you really look at this, the deep conviction, undiminished by the passing of the years, sprout from his pen, and it is figured probably, and I'm thinking as I've researched through the Bible, John was probably about 70 years plus, about my age, right? About some of our ages right now. And he writes about the coming of Jesus into this world. Like John the Baptist, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. I might decrease so he can increase. This is who I've been preaching about. And John is saying right here that we have seen, we have heard, we have touched. And this is what I'm passing on to you. We want you to have what we experienced. And we can experience in the same unique, intimate way, even though we weren't in the presence of Jesus then, but we can still experience the excitement as they experienced, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit existing and present today in our life. So, this first four verses represent just one sentence in the original Greek, with John fervently repeating the tangled physical experiences he and his friends had, the hearing, the seeing, and the touching, the very life of God himself, and I call that the incarnate of Jesus. Our Father sent him into this world in order that we might identify, and that's what John and all the other disciples, as they wrote, is passing along to us, the incarnate of Jesus Christ, to help us understand how we can have life just like they had it and experienced it. See, this life is not wishful thinking or passing heresy or even profound spiritual experience along. It is real. It is real. And this life is rooted in the flesh and the blood human of Jesus Christ. That would be the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. He came in the flesh. That's what John says, the same writer of the epistle here. He came in the flesh. This is Jesus, the written word of God. So this life is what his readers must grasp if they would have that real life. And that's what we must grasp if we want to have that real life. I'm saying real life. You know, this is life, but the real life that we can have in Jesus comes through him. The abundant life, eternal life that we can all experience. And many of us here today have experienced that. And if you're here today and you haven't experienced that personal relationship, just like Haley did and we baptized her a few minutes ago, you can have that today. It's exciting. You never come back to me and say, well, boy, I made a bad mistake. You never do that. I haven't ever. I've done, you know, a lot of things in life. Made some good, mostly good, bad decisions, but I've never doubted or regretted the decision I made when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm sure over the years, the Lord has been a little disappointed in me, but I've never been disappointed in Him. But you know what? He has a lot of patience, doesn't He? And don't pray for Him, though. He'll wear you out with Him. But God has a lot of patience, and He can offer us and does offer us real life. So, our faith is not just a story. It's not just a story. It's based on the real events seen, heard by real people, about real person, about the one and true God. Now, going back to verse 1, John asserts his credentials as an original eyewitness to the truth about God's Son through the continued direct contact with Him. And that's the best witness you can have, isn't it? You know, we talk to a lot of people during the day, and when we share our experiences, we share our praises. You know, we can go to somebody, hey, I want to share you something I just heard. I witnessed it myself. Well, that's what John is saying. I witnessed, I heard, I seen, I touched. So, in verse 1, going back to verse 1, what was from the beginning? What was the beginning with God? He's always existed. He's always has will and will be. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the Word of Life. And he's referring as Jesus as the Word of Life, because He has everything to pass on to us that is from the Word of God. And that's why John, in the last chapter, chapter 21, in the last verse, said, you know, Jesus did so many things, we can't even contain it in one book. And the whole world couldn't even contain what Jesus has done, you know, in His years, of those 3.5 years of ministry. But He said, what I have witnessed and what I've heard and what I've touched, I'm passing it on to you. It is real life. Real life. So, without any formal greetings, unlike chapter 2 and 3, because John starts out with this book really introducing us to the real life, this unspecified letter, not naming the writer or recipient, you know, or written sermon, was or intended for a mass audience. And that includes you and includes me as well. But it's simply because with the relative pronoun translated zero neuter gender, because it says the pronoun refers or introduces five object clauses containing Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's look at the first one. That's why I want to break this one verse down. There's so much in this one verse. He was from the beginning. The emphasis is on the eternal nature of Christ. From the very beginning, always has, and that's why God says, I am that I am. I am who I say I am. Now, the verb was from emi, that's the Hebrew or the Greek word. I am means was already in existence. I can't put it any plainer than that. I am already in existence. So, Jesus was already in existence when the beginning of the creation occurred. He was there. And there never was a time when Jesus was not in existence. Okay. Now, let's move on to the second part. Reference. Now, this is a what Nancy's not here, so I like to throw these English stuff in here. Adjective clause, okay? I like those adjective clauses. What is what the apostles and others who had opportunity to know the incarnate Christ, it says, had heard. Okay, that's an adjective clause right there. Has heard or had heard. They heard the divine thoughts of God spoken in a human way or human voice. So it's so wonderful to read the scripture knowing that the prophets and many of those in the Old Testament heard God audibly. They heard their voice. These disciples heard the voice of Jesus. They witnessed. They was with him. So they heard it and they recorded it. And that's why the four Gospels are called synoptic. That means seeing together. They seeing aligned with, they said it in a different way, but it has the same meaning. That's what is so interesting about a witness. You have four people. They might tell it a little bit different, but when the conclusion of it is finalized, it has the same purpose and meaning, intent behind it. Now, so they heard the divine thoughts of God spoken by a human voice. Those had ears to hear, heard the voice, and that voice, it was a message. It was a message from God. And they listened and they heard his parables, his moral teachings, his anointed prayers, his rebukes, his encouragements, and his blessings. And when you think about blessings, I like to read Mark chapter 10, somewhere around verse 13, where it said, "Do not forsake the children to come to me." And Jesus laid hands on them. He spoke with them. He taught them. And it says he blessed them. And that's the blessings that they witnessed, the disciples did. So, now, let's go on to part three, what the eyes have seen. See, this is a reference to what the eyes have seen. Jesus wasn't a ghost or a phantom. Not at all. He was flesh and blood and visible as any human. You could just reach out and touch him, and he could touch you. He was both divine and yet human in the sense of the physical state as we ourselves are right here today. He experienced the pains and the suffering and all the things that we go through in life, and yet he chose not to sin because he wanted to be obedient. And John talks about this in the Gospel of John along with his epistles. And Hebrews talks about Jesus as well, going through having all the infirmities and things like that as we, but yet he did not sin. So, and now we go on to four. The fourth reference concerning what they heard and grasped. To behold or to look upon means to give attention to or reflect on. So, they gave attention to Jesus and they reflected upon it. They meditated upon what Jesus heard. I remember taking a class years ago, and the professor said, it would be for your benefit to listen to what I have to say because you're going to give it back to me as a reflection of what I've said today. And when I look at it and I read it, it better make sense. So when I got mine back, it made sense to him evidently, so I got a good grade on it. So it makes sense to pay attention and listen. Of course, Brenda wouldn't say I always listen, but she thinks I have selective hearing sometimes. But sometimes maybe I just don't hear. But you see what I'm talking about right here in this scripture. These disciples, they heard what God had to say to them. See, John had come to understand the meaning of real life, the significance. John had come to the understanding that it was abundant life. It was a satisfying life through his long and intimate association with Christ. So at first, John did not really understand what Jesus did when he shared his life with the believers and when he died on the cross and all of that, but he was there and he was taking it all in and he recorded it. And now he's telling us about this is the real deal. This is the real Christ. This is real life. Trust him, believing, call upon him, and he will save you. And he's talking about the abundant life in Christ. So I'll ask this morning, make it this a personal question, just like the Bible is personal to each one of us. Are you growing in your relationship with Jesus so that you are understanding him and what he is doing better and better and better in your life each day? See, that's what John is passing along to us. We need to know that. Okay, then finally, the fifth part of this verse, and we're still in verse 1. We're not getting out of verse 1 this morning. But there's so much in verse 1. I could preach probably another hour or so, but I won't. But there's so much in it. We'll pick up on in our Bible study on Wednesday night. So, the fifth part of this verse is the reference to what their hands handled. What their hands handled, what they, you know, what they heard, what they saw, what they touched, what they handled. See, the followers of Jesus touched him physically and were physically touched by him. Their life was completely changed. In a way, it made it such an impact that they recorded. And God, you know, Jesus said, I chose you, you didn't choose me. But what you have been chosen to do, you're going to be doing great works. Even greater than what I've done, because you're going to remain here, because I'm going to the Father, and I will send the Holy Spirit. So they touched him not only during his ministry, but after his resurrection from the dead. Jesus was real, physical, a flesh and blood man to them. See, his touch was a healing, fortifying, cleansing touch of God. You know, he still touches lives today. He still touches your life today. And he still offers to all of us who will reach out and grasp him and touch him in faith, his abundant life. He heals, he fortifies, and he cleanses our life. And I could go on and on and on with that. But that is the life of Christ. Now, in conclusion, as you read the Gospels of the life of Jesus, you see the wonderful kind of God he wants you to enjoy. See, God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy it to the fullest and abundant. So, in order to do that, to know Jesus is to know God. How do I know that? Jesus said, me and the Father are one. Remember the scripture I read a while ago, Ephesians chapter 4? One body, one Christ, one Savior, one faith, one baptism, on and on and on. So that's why I say to know Jesus is to know God. And to know Jesus is to know real life and know it abundantly. See, he imparts his real life, his life, to all who will trust him. That's what he does. That's the great thing about Christ making us a part of his great plan. It's real life, sustaining life. It's the world of life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day, what we've experienced today, how we have heard, how we have seen, even touched with your hands the Word of Life. It's as we hold the Bible in our hands, we can feel the energy that John was passing along to us through your Word, by what he was saying, by hearing and seeing and touching. I mean, we can just visualize that. I can almost just feel that right here, because we have your Word. We have it in written pages, and thank you for that. And through those written pages and the words that you share with us, we better understand the life of Christ. Father, we thank you that you have given us your written Word. And with that written Word comes the promises. And as we commit and as we yield our life and surrender to you, then we understand what that real life is all about. So if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they can. If there's anyone does know you and hasn't been baptized and needs to follow up with that, Lord, I pray that we'll give that very serious thought and respond to your invitation. Anyone looking for a church home, Versailles Baptist Church is a place, a serving church, a loving church, a caring church, one that works together and strives to do the right things that you've called us to do. Lord, bless this service as we sing, "Just As I Am." And that's how we have to come, just as we are, because you're an unconditional God with unconditional love. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn of invitation is "Just As I Am." Let us stand.